When do we sacrifice our future for the pleasure of the moment? When our focus is on the worldly rather than the eternal. We tend to think we can pursue whatever we want because no one, including God, will notice. We forget that His principles never fail. Whatever we sow now, we will reap in the future.
Welcome to Your Place of Grace with Evangelist Anthony Sluzes. We're taking the message of salvation, Holy Spirit renewal, and healing through the finished work of Christ to the world by every available means. If you'd like more information about Your Place of Grace Ministries and our resources, visit yourplaceofgrace.com.
Hey there, everybody. This is Anthony Sluzes, and I thank you for listening to Your Place of Grace. Today we're talking about when momentary pleasures endanger your future. You know, we're living in what we can call a now generation. That means whatever we want, we can often find a way to get it, boom, immediately. This could be good if it's a legitimate and pressing necessity, but it can also be dangerous if what we desire is not something God wants for us. The problem with have it now thinking is that we don't pause to consider the consequences of our actions. One of Satan's tactics is to keep our minds on the pleasures and the benefits of whatever he's offering us. How much better it would be if we submitted our desires to the Lord and waited on him to provide what he knows is best. Many, many people today are living for the moment and are willing to pay any price to get what they want. This is the situation we see in the story of Jacob and Esau, recorded in Genesis 25. How each brother responded to this situation teaches us a very important lesson. Abraham's son, Isaac, had twin sons with his wife, Rebekah. Esau was the firstborn and grew up to become a skillful hunter. But Jacob was a peaceful man who preferred staying home. One day, when Jacob had cooked stew, Esau came in from hunting and said, Please let me have some of that red stuff there. I'm starving to death. Jacob told Esau if he'd swear to sell him his birthright, he would let him have some stew. In a Hebrew family, the birthright was a very precious possession of the eldest son, which granted him the place of headship, honor, and authority in the family, as well as most of the father's property after his death. And yet Esau was willing to trade away this privilege, trade it all away, for some soup. Oh, soup, stew. His choice was demonstrated that he despised his own birthright. Esau's mindset is a perfect picture of our society in America today, which tends to think only of the present, right now, without considering the future consequences. When we do sacrifice our future for the pleasure of the moment, problems will arise. What kind of problems? Well, when we disregard the sacred values in life. See, God gave us the Ten Commandments as a law by which we are to live for our good, but If we disregard them, we'll end up suffering the consequences in the future. So when do we sacrifice our future for the pleasure of the moment? When we insist on immediate fulfillment of our desires. David and Samson are two biblical examples of this. King David yielded to his lust for Bathsheba and resorted to the murder of her husband when she became pregnant. The pleasure of the moment yielded painful circumstances for the rest of David's life. Samson was given supernatural strength by God to fight the Philistines, but his desire for Delilah led him to foolishly tell her that the secret of his great strength was in his hair. And as a result, Delilah cut his hair, and the Philistines overpowered him, bound him, blinded him, and threw him in prison to work as a grinder. He wrecked and ruined his life by seeking his own desires instead of obeying the Lord. When do we sacrifice our future for the pleasure of the moment? When our focus is on the worldly rather than the eternal. We tend to think we can pursue whatever we want because no one, including God, will notice. We forget that His principles never fail. Whatever we sow now, we will reap in the future. Also, when we make irrevocable decisions in periods of physical and emotional weakness, that's a problem. This is exactly what Esau did. In a moment of fatigue and exhaustion, he forgot about the future and traded away his promised position of authority and power in the family for a bowl of stew. Oh my. Later, when he wanted it back, it was too late. He had lost his birthright forever. You see, sin cannot be hidden from God. Its satisfaction is only temporary, for a moment. And then terrible regrets always follow. There's also a problem when we have no respect for spiritual things. King Saul is an example of someone who disregarded God's decision to make David the next king of Israel. In his determination to hang on to his kingdom, Saul did everything he could to hunt down and kill David in an attempt to thwart God's plan to make David the next king. And as a result, Saul suffered mental torment. And both he and his son Jonathan were killed in battle. He destroyed his future because of his obsession to keep what he desired most, his kingdom and his power. There are also problems when we fail to examine the possible consequences of our actions. You see, Judas Iscariot walked with Jesus as one of his disciples because he thought Jesus would overthrow Rome and liberate Israel and rule the world. But when he didn't get what he wanted, Judas betrayed Jesus and suffered eternal condemnation. Anytime we sin in seeking our desires, consequences, disastrous consequences, will follow. Instead of rushing ahead to fulfill our longings, we should consider God's will and timing for our lives. We must guard against being like Esau, who sacrificed his future for a moment's pleasure. His bowl was filled with stew, but we fill ours with all sorts of sins instead of seeking the only one who can truly satisfy our souls. Let me ask, what is in our bowl today that carries disastrous consequences. Alcohol? We can buy and drink all we want and feel good for a while. But the results of becoming enslaved to it are difficult and long-lasting. How about prejudice? Passing judgment on others simply because you don't relate to them never pleases God. Or how about maybe drugs? No one ever intends to become addicted to drugs, but the sought-after pleasure and relief soon turn into chains of bondage. And then there's bitterness. Bitterness begins with anger and grows into a more destructive emotion that affects our entire being. What about adultery? Although it's so often glamorized in our culture, adultery destroys individuals and entire families. What about abortion? It may seem like a way to escape a difficult situation, but those involved in abortion carry a heavy weight of guilt. And then there's hatred. Even if we feel justified in our hatred, it damages our emotions, health, attitudes, and relationships with others and with God. How about unforgiveness? The right response to every offense is forgiveness. But harboring unforgiveness is a terrible sin that hinders our lives and our relationship with the Lord. And then there's anger. When we hold on to anger for wrongs committed against us, our bodies, feelings, spirits, and relationships suffer greatly. To continue in these sins will only result in future suffering. If we find any of these in our lives, we need to ask God to cleanse and forgive us so that we can live the life He intends for us. Let me ask you, my friend, have you, like Esau, ever traded something precious for a moment's pleasure? Let me pray with you right now. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you are here in our midst. I thank you, Father God, that your Holy Spirit is here with my friend that's listening and with me as I record this message. And Father, we've all done things that we're ashamed of. We've all done things for just a few moments of pleasure that have caused promises for, that have caught, I should say, caused problems for months, even years. Father, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of those sins of, just a moment's worth of pleasure. But through that moment of pleasure, we've caused us harm. We've caused those near and dear to us great harm and pain. And there are consequences to our sins. But Father God, we thank you that Jesus, your Son, went to Calvary's cross in order to bear our sins, all of them, and to bear the punishment that we deserved for those sins. Thank you for Jesus' precious blood, Father, because it's His blood that cleanses us from every stain of sin and from iniquity within our souls. And we ask you to forgive us, to wash us. The Bible says, though your sins be as scarlet, I will wash you white as snow. We repent, Father, of our sin. We turn from it and turn toward you. We turn toward the cross of Christ. Thank you, dear Lord, for washing us making us whole and making us worthy to be called children of God. We praise you, Lord Jesus, and we love you, and we will live for you, and we will serve you today and all the days of our lives. And the pain that we have caused, we will do our utmost to make amends for that pain toward those we have hurt. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. Praise God. Oh, thank you for listening today, dear ones. Please do grab a copy of my latest book. It's called The Forgiving Heart. You can find it at Amazon.com, and it's in paperback and in Kindle formats. You can also go to my website, yourplaceofgrace.com, and please do listen. Buy several copies. It's not expensive. Buy several copies of The Forgiving Heart by Anthony Sluzis and pass them around to friends and coworkers, fellow students, neighbors, whoever. If there's anything we need in this world right now, it's love and a forgiving heart. Thank you for listening today. And pastors, if you're listening, please go to our website and give some prayerful consideration to having me to come to your church and to speak and to minister. I've ministered all across the United States, as far as Oregon to Florida and points in between. And God has done wonderful things in our services. Many people have been saved, delivered, healed in body, and filled with the Holy Spirit. We've seen wonderful things that God has done. And go to our testimonials page on our website, yourplaceofgrace.com, and see what other pastors have said through having us to come and minister. I'm not tooting my own horn. I am just bragging on my Jesus. He's doing great and awesome things. Thank you for listening today, and until we meet again, may the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may he always have a smiling countenance toward you. And may he give you peace, protection, prosperity, joy unspeakable and full of glory, laughter and unconditional love within your marriage, family, and home. And may he grant you great favor everywhere you step foot, all the days of your long, long life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Your Place of Grace with Anthony Sluzis. We trust the podcast was a blessing to you. If you'd like more information about our ministry, resources, testimonials, and to schedule Anthony to speak at your event, go to yourplaceofgrace.com.